Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, boys and girls, to another edition of the FootballDiehards.com podcast. I am Skip Lacombe, and it is draft season. The draft is just around the corner, so we're going to dedicate this entire show pretty much to the upcoming draft. And for that, our resident draftnik expert is joining us, Joe Hebert. Joe, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, Skip. How about yourself?
Oh, I can't complain, can't complain. It's an exciting time for football, though, isn't it?
It is, and after what seems like months and months and months of waiting, we finally arrived here at draft weekend, and it's time to figure out what's going to happen.
Very good. Well, we're going to go ahead and do our final mock draft of the season in a little bit, but I want to quickly touch on some of the news and notes that have happened over the past week. First of all, a lot of football fans and gaming fans have finally found out who's going to be on the cover of Madden 10, which is going to be Polamalu and Fitzgerald. So I guess they're going to be foregoing the curse of the Madden, and hopefully they'll be okay this season.
Yeah, hopefully that'll work out. It's been sort of strange how that curse has really proved to be virtually a true thing, where you get on the cover and your following season is not going to be up to your usual standards, but we'll certainly see.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, at this point, there have been several players who have been offered the position, have been considered, and have turned it down. In fact, Adrian Peterson, we're now learning, had turned down the offer for the cover. So hopefully this will pay off for him. But I mean, and I'm not usually too much to be in on the whole curse type thing, but you kind of have to take a look at the facts with this one.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not a big curse fan either, but it's been kind of bizarre how it's sort of followed along here, and I think certainly players can be very into things like that, and that could be part of the reason why Adrian Peterson said, I think I'll pass.
Yeah, a lot of players do have those superstitions where they'll wear the same underwear every game day or the same socks or something like that, so hopefully these two players will be able to go ahead and continue their season without any injuries or any of those crazy things the Madden curse has brought about. But it is official now, announced earlier, Madden 10 will have Troy Polamalu and Larry Fitzgerald on the cover, so be sure to pick that up if you're into the whole Madden thing. Some other things have been going on. Tony Gonzalez, a big trade earlier, traded from Kansas City to Atlanta. How is that going to affect the draft coming up tomorrow?
Really, probably not so much. I mean, Kansas City picked up a 2010 second-round pick, so as far as what they're going to be doing this year, it's not really changed all that much. I think over on the Atlanta side, it pretty much locks up Atlanta going defense in the first round, which in my estimation was where they were going to go anyway. I know a lot of people had Brandon Pettigrew as being a logical choice for them, a tight end, top tight end in this draft going there, but I always thought they were more defense-oriented because of the depth of the tight end class anyway. So I think as far as how it affects this draft, probably not a great deal. What it does show, though, too, is that Kansas City is definitely in rebuilding mode, and if you don't want to be there, it looks like Scott Pioli will help you get on out of there if he can.
Absolutely. Is that move a surprise?
Not really. I mean, Gonzalez was almost dealt last year at the trading deadline and just happened to beat to Atlanta also at that time. So Gonzalez had been hot and cold about whether or not he wanted to be part of the Chiefs movement and what it meant to him as far as a player. I think in the end, when you look at what Todd Haley's offense is going to bring, if you watch how the Cardinals played last year, there wasn't a lot of tight end involvement. And so I don't think it's quite as big a loss as it might have been to the Chiefs when you look at it at personnel. But the one thing it does hurt, though, I think, is the development of Matt Cassel and fitting in over there. It certainly would have been nice for him to have Gonzalez around to be a target in the middle of that field.
Yeah, it looks like this move is going to help Atlanta more than it's going to hurt Kansas City.
Absolutely, especially in the short term. I think in the long term, this really does look like a win-win deal to me. But short term, you got to give it to Atlanta for not having to burn a pick on a tight end and having a Hall of Famer step in to play tight end for them with at least probably a couple more good seasons that he can perform.
Absolutely. So that was an interesting move. Also, it looks like Jason Campbell came out earlier and said if the Redskins draft a quarterback this year, he wants a trade. The Jets have already expressed some interest in that. What do you think that's going to really play out? Do you think that the Skins may be drafting a quarterback? Do you think Jason Campbell may be dealt to the Jets? How do you think that's going to play?
Yeah, I mean, that's very interesting. I mean, Daniel Snyder has not met a draft pick yet. He's not afraid to trade away. and apparently he's very, very interested in Mark Sanchez. And, you know, this would be his second quarterback he'll be chasing because they did get involved in the Jay Cutler sweepstakes and fell short there. So I can see why Jason Campbell would certainly not want to stay around if that's the way he's going to be treated, so to speak. But, yeah, I certainly think that Sanchez could end up as a skin, because the Redskins are not afraid to throw everything they need to go get the person they want. And that certainly means that Jason Campbell might want to be moved. That makes sense to me. I don't really understand the Jets' interest in Campbell. He's never really impressed me as being all that great of a quarterback. Yeah, he's solid, but you know, maybe as a short-term move, since they really have virtually nobody else on the roster that they can trust. But you know, if I were the Jets, I certainly wouldn't overpay for Campbell, and maybe they won't have to.
Yeah, it looks like that may end up being a pretty mutually beneficial decision for everybody involved there too. Another player who is starting to get some echoes and getting to make some waves is a Bolden. It looks like Bolden may be looking for a trade out of Arizona. It looks like they may be close to getting a trade done. Arizona recently just lowered their demands for him. Do you think he's going to be able to be dealt?
I think, to me, the bottom line with Bolden is he pretty much has to be dealt, because I don't think the Cardinals can afford to sign him to the amount of money he wants. And you know, recent rumors are really linking up pretty strong with the Tennessee Titans here, with the Cardinals taking a look at their running backs of Lendale White and Chris Henry to see if either one of them would help make a trade come to fruition. While I'm not super keen on either one of those running backs, I could see Lendale White, you know, coming across in a contract year with something to prove and maybe being able to be an effective back for them. So I think in the end it makes sense for the Cardinals to move him, and my guess is it's going to happen. And right now it looks like the Titans have the inside track over teams like the Eagles, Giants, Jets, and Ravens.
Yeah, it appears that way. Bolden is certainly going to demand some money on the salary cap, so it does look as though it may be unlikely him's going to be able to stay and make a deal work in Arizona.
Exactly. Now, they do have some depth over there in wide receiver, so while, you know, obviously losing Anquan Bolden is nothing you really want to do, I think to be able to tolerate that kind of a loss, especially if they can get an effective running back to help balance the offense just a touch more. So not the end of the world for Cardinals if they lose Bolden, but, you know, ideally, obviously, they'd love to keep a player like that, but his contract demands, I think, are just going to force the move that he's going to have to go.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't want to be rushing through all this stuff too either. But I want to go ahead and get started on this mock draft. I want to spend a couple of seconds on each of the players, each of the first round drafts. It looks at this point, though, by pretty much all accounts, the Lions have pretty much locked up Matt Stafford. Do you think he is going to be the number one overall pick at this point?
Yeah, even before we had gotten to this point, as I prepared for this final mock draft, I had Stafford going there just because, well, a couple of reasons. A, this quarterback class is probably going to be better than next year's quarterback class, so it's not like they can sit back and look again next year and find better. I think there are questions with some of the elite tackles in this draft, whether it's Jason Smith and his lack of run blocking or Eugene Monroe and his knee issues. I think in the end, Matt Stafford is probably the player who makes the most sense, even though I have to admit, a month ago I was not in that camp. I really thought they should go offensive tackle. But as I sit here today, I do think Stafford's the best choice, and I have him going there. And I think even Aaron Curry has come out and said that he feels that the Lions are going with Stafford as well. So all indications are it's Stafford, and I'd be totally shocked now if it's anybody but him.
Yeah, there have also been a couple of players who have made their draftability a little bit more difficult, primarily someone like Percy Harvin, who had a little bit of issue with his drug test at the Combine. Who are some of the other movers and shakers who have gone up and gone down as we're going into the draft this weekend?
If you look at some of the people who are ascending here and going up in the draft, one of the big ones who's a bit shocking, really, is Andre Smith, the offensive tackle out of Alabama. As we closed in to the end of the regular season of the college season last year, he was looking like the top tackle in the draft and on the short list for being the number one pick in the draft, and until he just went totally loco and, you know, got himself banned from the team's bowl game due to contacting an agent, and then just totally went, again, wacko at the Combine when he left too early and didn't communicate what was going on there. And he really started falling down boards a lot. But lately here, he's gotten himself a decent agent. And interest seems to be that a team like Cincinnati might be interested in getting him at number 6. And there's even talk that the Buffalo Bills may want to deal ahead of the Cincinnati team to go ahead and grab him even higher than that. So I'd definitely say his stock is rising.
Okay, and who's the player who's probably dropped off the most?
I got a couple quick thoughts there. One is Aaron Curry with the linebacker out of Wake Forest. Right now, as it sits, the Lions actually have a deal in place to take Curry at number one if they were to make that selection. But from a financial point of view, it, to me, it still makes no sense. To me, that's just a fallback to go to somebody with, you know, 100% type of character guy who's all effort and certainly going to be a great player. But when you look at the finances and paying somebody like Curry at that position, the amount of money they have to pay him financially, it's just a bad decision. And the next place that's logical for him to go is Kansas City at number three. In virtually every mock draft you see, that's where he's going. And to me, that I think the same problem is still there. I think it's still too much money for Curry to play strong side linebacker or middle linebacker or whatever he's going to play. So I think it's possible he could fall as far as number five at Cleveland. And based on talent, I think that would surprise a lot of people. And the other person I'll mention real quick is Michael Crabtree, the wide receiver out of Texas A&M. Everybody loves his skills, but he seems to be rubbing some teams the wrong way with his interviews. He's a very much a spoiled kind of kid, it seems like, and some teams don't like that. And he could possibly slide, you know, all the way down to maybe as far as number 10 even, based on that attribute of his.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there have been a lot of players who, I mean, aside from the physicality of the game, have hurt themselves more with off-the-field shenanigans and off-the-field type things, interviews, things of that nature.
Absolutely, and for whatever reason, that really seems to inhabit the wide receiver group as a whole. I mean, when we first started talking about the draft, we were talking about, you know, possibly six receivers going in the first round or possibly seven if things fell right. But I think it's going to be less than that. I think we're looking at more like three or four, and that's basically because of all these other off-the-field concerns that these receivers are throwing out right now.
And just a quick side note on Crabtree. He was operated on his foot back on March 4th. By all your accounts, he's completely healed, and he'll be okay with that?
He should be. Everything I've heard, he's on path to do well. Obviously, that hurts him with a team like the Oakland Raiders, who have a top 10 pick. They really like speed, and they don't have any numbers on Crabtree for speed. So, you know, he may not be a lock to go there, which would seem to be perhaps the most natural fit, really. So we'll see how that plays out.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get to the mock draft. We'll go ahead and skip number one, since at this point it looks to be pretty much a lock. Stafford is going to be the Detroit Lions pick. So let's move down on the clock now with the St. Louis Rams with the second pick. Who do you think is going to go?
Yep. I've got the Rams taking Jason Smith, the offensive tackle out of Baylor. The Rams cut ties with Orlando Pace, and they need an infusion of youth and talent on the offensive line. I think they take him over Eugene Monroe because Smith is a better pass blocker, and left tackle's primary job is protecting your quarterback. So he'll need to learn how to run block and play out of a three-point stance, but I think that's the way they go.
With the third pick, the Kansas City Chiefs, who are they going to select?
Yep, I've got them taking Eugene Monroe for the reasons we just talked about with Aaron Curry. Aaron Curry is a good fit, but financially, I don't think it's the best decision. If Kansas City can't trade out of the slot, I think they could go ahead and grab Eugene Monroe. The offensive line, you know, needs a lot of help over there. So they'd have bookend tackles and, you know, back-to-back drafts that both are studs and both come out of Virginia and actually played on the line next to each other. But to me, it's a good player and good value for your money. So I like Monroe going to Kansas City, even though 99% of people are saying Curry, and I understand that as well.
On the clock with the fourth pick, the Seahawks of Seattle. Who do they select?
I've got them going with Mark Sanchez, even though everything coming out of Seattle says they don't want to go with Mark Sanchez. But to me, it just makes too much sense. Matt Hasselbeck is going to be 34. He's got a bad back. I'm not sure Seneca Wallace is really the answer as a franchise quarterback. Yeah, he's fine for, you know, a 4-6 game run if you need him. But I wouldn't necessarily want to turn my franchise over to him and give, you know, Seattle was a better team than drafting in the fourth spot. And given this rare opportunity to draft a franchise quarterback and with the need coming here the next year or two, I think they should do it.
With pick number five, the Cleveland Browns, who do they select?
I've got Aaron Curry falling here. In my previous mock, Aaron Curry had gone earlier, and then there was really no good fits for Cleveland, and I struggled to find somebody for them. But in this draft, with Aaron Curry sitting there at five, it's just a natural fit. He'd be a solid linebacker in any draft class, and he certainly helps the Browns with their greatest need, which is improving that defense.
Moving on to the sixth pick, who do you think is going to be the pick for the Cincinnati Bengals?
I've got Andre Smith locked in there. He's been in that spot for me for quite a while and still sits there. The Bengals need to reload along both their lines, really. But with the value of Smith being, you know, perhaps the best offensive tackle in this draft and being high quality, I think it makes a lot of sense, even with all the baggage he brings. The Bengals are known for taking risks with their players, and I think they'll go ahead and do that here.
Next on the clock is the Oakland Raiders. Who do they select?
Yep, I've got Jeremy Maclin, the wide receiver out of Missouri, going there, even ahead of Crabtree. Again, to me, this comes down to the Raiders and their love of measurables, and in particular that measurable being speed. I think Maclin tested fast enough, and he seems like a good enough receiver to go ahead and become a good receiver and help out Jamarcus Russell and get him a weapon.
Absolutely. With the 8th overall pick, the Jacksonville Jaguars, who do you think they're going to pick?
I've got them in this draft going with B.J. Raji, the defensive tackle out of Boston College. Last year, the Jaguars traded away Marcus Stroud, and I think if they had to do that over again, they would not do that. And that consequently left a hole in the middle of that defense to stop the running game. Raji would go a long way towards making that defense much better, and to me that makes sense that Raji would fit here.
Moving up north, Green Bay Packers at the number 9 spot. Who do you think they're going to select?
Yep, the Packers are a team going to a 3-4 defense, and that's why I have them grabbing Tyson Jackson, defensive end out of LSU. Jackson's being pushed up boards mostly because there's really a lack of 3-4 defensive ends in this draft. And while this could be a tad high for him, there's no doubt that Green Bay has a need to get the personnel on the field to make that 3-4 defense work. And so I think they'll go ahead and grab him.
All right, moving on to the number 10th pick. San Francisco 49ers are on the clock. Who are they going to pick?
Yep, at this point, because of the way the board fell, I think they would be the team that would now go ahead and grab Michael Crabtree, the wide receiver out of Texas A&M. The Niners really need a pass rusher, but I don't think there's any way that if Crabtree is sitting out here at 10, they can just pass on him because they also need playmakers on offense. So I think they would swap their needs and go ahead and grab the better talent on the board, which is Crabtree, and be quite happy with it.
With the 11th overall pick, who do you think that Terrell Owens' new teammate is going to be in Buffalo?
I think due to the fact that Jason Peters just got dealt away, Buffalo has now created a massive hole on their left tackle, and I think they might go out and get Michael Orr to fill that slot for them, the offensive tackle out of Mississippi. There's 4 premier offensive tackles in this draft, and this would be the last one on the board, so I think that would make sense for Buffalo, and they'd reach out and grab them.
A team who's been making a lot of moves for the Denver Broncos, they're slated at the number 12 slot. What do you think their next play is going to be?
Yeah, they're certainly in a lot of discussions about either moving up for Sanchez or doing whatever, but if they sit where they are, to me that's an indication that they'll be going defense, and in this draft they're sitting where they are. So I have them grabbing Everett Brown, the linebacker out of Florida State. The Broncos are another team going to a 3-4 defense, so they need help there. Brown provides a lot of pass rush out there, and I think he'd be a nice fit.
Moving up to Washington Redskins at the 13th point, who do you think they're going to select when their time comes?
Yep, I think the Redskins were disappointed to see Orr go off the board as the last offensive tackle. That was worth that choice, so they turn over to the defensive side of the board, and they go with Brian Arakpo, the defensive end out of Texas. Like other teams in this draft, the Redskins need people who can rush the quarterback, and Arakpo can help with that situation.
All right, moving down to New Orleans with the 14th pick, who do you think is going to be the next Saint?
I'm in line with a lot of other people here saying that Malcolm Jenkins, the cornerback out of Ohio State, makes a lot of sense. Even if he were to prove to be too slow out on the field to be a cornerback in the NFL, he's got plenty of skills to become a safety. But I think New Orleans will try him at cornerback, and they could certainly use another one over there.
All right. With the 15th pick overall, the Houston Texans are on the clock. Who do they select?
Yep, I've got the Texans going with Brian Cushing, the linebacker out of USC. Outside linebacker is a major need for this team, and I think Cushion would do a great job filling in their spot. So as a team, Houston really needs to improve their defense if they want to take the next step to become a playoff team, and Cushing's going to help.
All right. To sunny San Diego, the Chargers, with the 16th pick overall, who do you think they're going to select?
Yeah, based on the way this board fell, I have the Chargers going with the best player on the board, and to me that's Sean Moreno, the running back out of Georgia. The Chargers have a lot of talent on their roster, which provides them the luxury of really grabbing the best player on the board. And so when they go ahead and grab Moreno, then that allows the Chargers to transition away from LaDainian Tomlinson when they're ready as opposed to when Tomlinson is ready. And I think that makes a lot of sense.
All right. With the 17th pick overall, we now turn to the New York Jets. Who do you think is going to be the next Jet?
Yep. In this draft, I've got the Jets grabbing Brandon Pettigrew, the tight end out of Oklahoma State. I think one of the things that's evident about the Jets and the way they're building that team is they're going to be built around defense and around the running game. And what Pettigrew brings is really almost like a third tackle on the field. He's just a great blocker. And it also allows Dustin Keller to split out wide and be more involved in pass patterns and less in trying to block. And to me, it makes sense that this could happen.
Broncos come back up again at the 18th slot. Who do you think they might select with that, assuming they keep it?
Yep, they do. And I think if they keep it, they would probably go with Jerron Gilbert, the defensive end out of San Jose State. I think he really has been a tackle through his collegiate career, but he seems to suit a 3-4 defensive end, which, as we talked about earlier, is in dire shortage here in the draft. And this could be a little bit high for Gilbert, but I think Denver needs to make that reach and try and get that defense together.
With the 19th pick, Tampa Bay will come up. Who do you think might be the next Buck?
Yep, a lot of teams have them going with Freeman, a quarterback, but here I've got them going with Robert Ayers, the defensive end out of Tennessee. I think it's very possible the Bucs could decide that they want to address their defense instead. And Ayers is a very versatile player as far as being able to play either defensive tackle, defensive end, or linebacker. And I think that's going to make them very attractive to the Buccaneers.
All right. The Detroit Lions will come back up again with the 20th pick. Who do you think they may select with that pick?
Yep, and with their quarterback now under contract, hopefully, I think they turn their attention to defense and look to Ray Maoluga, the linebacker out of USC. Basically, the Lions have no defensive tackles and no middle linebacker, which is just a monstrous hole. And even though I think a lot of Lions fans would want them to grab an offensive tackle here, I think he can't ignore the defense. And I think somebody with the size and power of Maoluga is a great start towards turning that defense around.
Absolutely. With the 21st overall pick, we turn our attention to the Philadelphia Eagles. Who do you think may be wearing green next year?
Yep, and I have them grabbing Chris Beeny-Wells. The Eagles were disappointed to see Sean Moreno off the board, as I think he would be a better fit. But the thing about Wells is he would actually, I think, be a better complement to Brian Westbrook. So, you know, Wells in some circles is talked about as a top 10 talent, so having him fall down here is really quite fortuitous for the Eagles, and I think they'd be quite happy to have him.
Turning now to the 22nd pick now on the clock, Minnesota Vikings. What do they do there?
Yep, the Vikings are another team that I think a lot of their fans would say, we need a right tackle, but what I have happening here is grabbing Perry Ejiri, the defensive tackle out of Mississippi. Pat and Kevin Williams are, you know, monstrous defensive tackles, but those guys could use some breaks every now and then. I think starting a rotation and sort of taking a clue from how the Giants run their defensive line and keeping people fresh would be a very wise move, and they can grab an offensive tackle later in the draft.
All right. With the 23rd pick overall, we now turn to the New England Patriots. Who do you think they're going to be able to select at this point?
Yep. I have the Patriots. You know, they love those smart, aggressive, versatile type of players, and I think Connor Barwin, the linebacker out of Cincinnati, meets all those criteria and could be a selection. He's a person who's going to be a bit of a project, but as far as athletic ability and motor and intangibles, he just has everything you want and somebody that Bill Belichick, I think, would love to build.
All right. Well, Atlanta Falcons come up with the 24th pick. Who do you think is going to call Atlanta home next year?
Yep, and the Falcons, I think, are going to turn a lot to defense in this draft, and it starts here for me with Aaron Maben, the defensive end out of Penn State. The Falcons definitely need some help on the pass rush, and Maben has possibly the quickest first step in this draft, and he seems to be a nice fit.
All right, moving next now to the Miami Dolphins with the 25th pick overall. Who do you think is going to be a Dolphin next year?
I've got the Dolphins going with cornerback Darius Butler out of Connecticut. The Dolphins need help in several areas, really, but one of the areas that they need help at is cornerback, and there seems to be a shortage on cornerbacks who are tall in this draft, and so I think grabbing one of the elite cornerbacks who does have some height to him is something that's going to help the Fins out a lot on defense.
26th pick overall is Baltimore Ravens. What do you think the Ravens are going to do with that?
Yep, I think the Ravens understand that the time is getting dire and desperate for them to get some help at wide receiver, so I think they're going to go ahead and do that. And so in this draft, I have them taking Kenny Britt, the wide receiver out of Rutgers. What he offers over some of the other receivers that are available on the board right now is height and a good effort on the field and plenty of speed. So I think he'd be nice to help Joe Flacco continue to develop.
All right. At the 27th spot, we got the Indianapolis Colts coming up. Who do you think is going to be going there?
Yep, and every time I've done a mock draft, it's just impossible to ignore the need that the Colts have at that defensive tackle position. And so here I have them taking Evander Hood, the defensive tackle out of Missouri. Like I said, defensive tackle is by far the greatest need, and they have to address it early and possibly even often. Hood's got a great motor, great intangibles, and I think he'd be a nice fit.
All right, Buffalo Bills are slated at the 28th slot. Where do you think they're going to do with that?
Yeah, ideally they would love a defensive end, but, you know, that shortage of 3-4 defensive ends hits them here. So instead, I have them going linebacker and taking Clay Matthews, the linebacker out of USC. Matthews has awesome bloodlines, and he's a great worker and has a great motor, a great love of the game, and he'll be an asset to that team.
All right. Back to New York. Now we got the Giants up at the 29th spot. What do you think the Giants are going to be able to do with that?
Yep, I have the Giants shying away from the wide receivers here a little bit due to that character issue we talked about, and I have them instead grabbing Clint Sintem, linebacker out of Virginia. He hits like a truck and is a solid pass rusher, and you know that's really going to, I think, put a fear of whatever into the rest of the NFL if the Giants pick up another monstrous defensive player with everything else they've done this offseason. But that's what I have them doing, and building that Hall of Fame defense.
All right. With the 30th pick overall, we now turn our attention to the Tennessee Titans on the clock. What do you think they're going to do?
Yep, assuming they keep this pick and don't deal it away for Mr. Bolden there,
uh-huh.
I have them taking Vontae Davis, the cornerback out of Illinois. From a talent standpoint, this kid is, you know, could be the best corner in the draft. He does have some off-the-field issues, some prima donna issues like a lot of the other players we've talked about here. But if Jeff Fisher can get him in line, and I think he is the kind of coach that can handle him, he could end up with quite a player there.
All right, coming down now to the final couple picks. With the 31st pick overall, we go back to Arizona. Who do you think may be a Cardinal next year at this point?
Right, and I've grabbed LeSean McCoy here, the running back out of Pittsburgh. Another thought had been Donald Brown, the running back out of Connecticut, but I think McCoy's a better fit because McCoy is exceptional in the passing game. And he's got great vision, so when the Cardinals spread out that offense, I think McCoy would be the running back more likely to be able to take advantage of that, so I'm going that way.
All right, and with the final pick in the first round at number 32, we got the Pittsburgh Steelers. Who do you think the last first-round pick will be this year?
Yep, and I think the Steelers will spend their draft fortifying both lines, but I've got them taking Eben Britton, the offensive tackle out of Arizona. Britton's got a nasty demeanor in the run game, and to me that just sounds so much like Pittsburgh. And he's going to need to improve his pass blocking, but overall I think he'd be a great addition to the team and help that team pick up their talent level and get a little bit younger.
All right, well, that goes through the entire first round of the draft. Let's go ahead and take a couple more quick moments to take a little analysis on this. You think San Diego is going to be picking up Knowshon Moreno with the 16th spot. They're already really deep with running backs, having inked backup Darren Sproles. I mean, do they really need three running backs at this point who are of that caliber, or is this maybe posturing for some trades or some moves down the line?
Well, to me, it's the ability to not be locked into whatever LaDainian Tomlin wants to do. Certainly there's more than a few people out there who feel Tomlinson has hit his peak and is on his declining years. And with a stud like Moreno nipping at his heels, I mean, that gives the Chargers options to either let Tomlinson go next year or move him or whatever and have a running game all set behind him. So I think it just gives them flexibility is what it is. And, you know, from a drafting standpoint, looking at best player available, it has always been a solid way to draft a team.
Especially with San Diego being so deep pretty much at every position. San Diego fans may be a little concerned, though, with the poor relationship already there between A.J. Smith and LaDainian Tomlinson, but having that dealing right now, picking up another big running back just gives them deeper, more depth.
Exactly, and I agree. It could backfire as far as that relationship you're talking about between Tomlinson and Smith, but you know, the team has to think about the team first, and this makes sense to me.
Very good. Well, millions of you, I'm sure, will be glued to your TVs and ESPN all weekend long watching all their coverage of the draft, so it should be very exciting. We do have our first round set, so I'm sure we'll be talking again next week, seeing how close we were able to get to the official first round. Joe, anything else you wanted to touch on before we let you go?
I just think the draft's going to be really interesting. The thing that's key about this draft is there's so many people with pretty equal grades across the board, so there's just a ton of possibilities of what can happen out there, and it's really going to be anybody's guess. It's really hard to nail down this draft.
Very good, Joe. Well, the website's footballdiehards.com. We do the podcast every week, and we'll see you next week. Check out the website, footballdiehards.com.